dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs, Matt Combs, and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to another week here at the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Be joined once again by my brother Matt and Jeremy Ward here momentarily. But first, I want to thank you, the fans. I know we did some live volleyball again the past week, a couple shows into the fall season here. Love the feedback we're getting. I know Bruce was telling me of some great numbers this week, even record-setting numbers for us in certain areas. And I know on the live volleyball that night, we had listeners from all over. So want to welcome the people from, over in the Pennsylvania area. I know Chicago. I know one California listener, Indiana, a lot of different places that just real exciting. I know Jeremy and I really enjoyed it, and it's great to get that feedback and know that you enjoy it as well. Now, as you guys know, on SVCSportsZone.com, we're 100% SVC 100% of the time, and I guess before I get Matt and Jeremy involved here, for the sake of this opening segment, I just wanted to kind of talk about where did that come from? Where did the idea come from? Why did we only go SVC? And as I think back as a fan of SVC, as someone who's a player and a coach and obviously fan media member, teacher in the community, and I got thinking to myself that if I'm being honest, I wanted more SVC coverage. I'm a big sports fan, so I'll read or I'll listen to just about anything in the entire area. But if I had my choice, rather than listen to I don't want to offend anybody, but rather than listen to, say, Taze Valley Amanda football game or a Waverly Memphis game went a certain way, I wanted more SVC. And we got to thinking about it, and I know as I've gone out for sponsorships and things like that, they'll ask me, would you be willing to do some Chillicothe coverage, a little Chillicothe score here and there? And I guess the answer is no. And even though it's cost us some sponsorship and spots, it's just something that I really wanted to try to do. I wasn't sure what type of growth we would get. Obviously, it's been overwhelming at times. It's been great. And Matt, that's why it makes sense for me to start with you. I know you can remember back about 7 years ago with me, and you kind of shared in the vision a little bit, and you kind of gave me your opinions, and we bounced ideas off of each other, and just your thoughts on where we're at as a website and what kind of job we still have to do moving forward here.
Yeah, I think that was always our plan, was to cover SVC and exclusively SVC, and to do that, we've had to, like you say, stand our ground a little bit, not really waver on that. And also, I think that's part of the reason why we've been able to get into this podcast and do some other things with the website, is because we haven't expanded our focus. I think sometimes you can, overexpand your focus to the point where maybe you're not really covering anything in a detailed fashion, if that makes sense. So I think we've been able to stick with the SVC and really try to kind of go about covering it in a detailed way.
Jeremy, the one thing that I know you felt pretty strong about, and it's something you've really opened my eyes to, is you felt like that in today's technology, there's plenty more SVC to do. And I know that you've talked to me and shared ideas about how to grow and different things, and it's led to some of the live shows and some other things we've done. So when you think of not maybe being willing sometimes to spread around the southeast part of the state, share with us a little bit of your ideas on what you mean by that when you say there's plenty to cover here in the SVC.
Well, as you've seen, the amount of coverage in volleyball alone, in golf, I think just trumps anything that's being done, at least in the immediate area. And when you can focus on one conference that is so – close in proximity, so many natural rivalries. You're generally tapping into to a wider audience. You're talking about an area where people grow up playing against each other, not just in the school sports, but also, you know, whether it's in the rec leagues, playing in city leagues, whatever it may be, the schools and the people of this conference are so intertwined in a variety of ways. It just makes sense that you focus your attention league wide, and you start stretching out. I just think you lose interest from some of those league people, and that really just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Matt, Jeremy mentioned something. You mentioned golf there and a couple other sports. That was another goal that we kind of had. And we understood that obviously there's more people interested in talking football or volleyball, but we also thought there was a need to make sure we covered, say, golf, for example. I know we do a good job of really covering it wall to wall throughout the year with the individual breakdown, and we try to get some cross country things involved. I know you do some nice things even for track in the spring. How important has the secondary coverage been to the website, you think?
I think it's been important because I think we've developed a lot of readers of the website and listeners to this show based on the fact that we do cover those sports, and in some ways we're, I don't want to say we're the only ones to cover them, but we probably cover them in a little more detail than most. And I think if you're a parent or of an athlete of one of those sports, or you're the athlete themselves or whatever, or maybe you're just a fan of those sports that and you like to hear a little more talk or read a couple pieces on those sports, obviously we seem to be the place you come for that. So I think it's worked out well. I think that's been a everybody, like you say, everybody covers football, basketball pretty well, and we did want to obviously cover those sports, but also focus on some of those sports that maybe don't always get the attention they deserve.
Jeremy, you think the same's true in the spring? I mean, I know obviously media numbers are going to go down in the spring a little bit, but from the feedback you get, say with softball and so forth, some of the unique listenership we get seems to really appreciate it.
No question, and you know, we've been an intrigue, I guess, to many of the other Division III conferences, whether it's the SOC, the TVC, or what have you, especially around tournament time, and some really interesting feedback that I've received, you know, in the past couple of years has come from, you know, people from those leagues and even stretching to the Southern Hills League, because they're really interested come tournament time, kind of what they're stacked up against, and they really like what we do focusing on the SVC.
Well, you know, guys, with all that said, we still want the fans to generate the topics on SVC Sports Talk. And, you know, on the other side of the break, we take a fan's idea that deals with taking our SVC sports and discussing how they stack up against the rest of the Southeast. Well, fans, we want to get you involved in the music selection. I know Matt and Jeremy always give Bruce such great suggestions on the music that's used for our bumper, or I guess bumper is the technical term.
Other than Chris Eldridge, too. We don't need Chris Eldridge.
Well, Chris, I'll say you or any other SVC fan can use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk there on Twitter, or give Bruce a call, 740-569-3254. Just let him know what song selection you have there, and I'm sure he'll get you included in an upcoming show. And, you know, guys, I've really been excited this week for this particular show, although putting the agenda together was really difficult to do because we're talking about such wide open topics here that can really go in a lot of different directions. And I guess that's what makes some of the discussion format fun. We've been asked to take our motto, the 100% SVC, 100% of the time, and see if we'd be willing to stretch it out around Southeast Ohio and compare the SVC to some other leagues in a variety of sports. And I guess maybe the teacher coming out in me thought we needed some sort of a rubric. If we're going to start grading, if you will, or giving opinions, we had to have some type of factors, because I think a lot of times when you start comparing, if you don't start comparing oranges to oranges and apples to apples, you can really get some confusing things that just don't make sense. And yeah, Matt, I guess I'll ask you first, help us avoid an oranges to apples type of comparison by giving us some factors here. Maybe one factor that jumps out at you is something we need to pay attention to.
Well, when I first started thinking about this show and how we would organize it and how we would talk about it, some things like tournament success came to mind, because that's a way you can judge like size schools, which I think is important if you're going to compare. You started looking at maybe even how the SBC does against some of the other areas in just regular non-league battles. But and this may not at all solve what you were just saying, Shane, but I think for me, honestly, the more I think about this, it might be simpler than that. It just kind of comes down to the eye test sometimes, you know, and what sure. you watch and what you see, and you know, and this league is better at this and this league is better at this, and why? Well, I don't know if I can give you statistics or whatnot, but I've watched them play, and that's the way I feel, you know, and that may be what some of this discussion comes down to.
Well, Jeremy, I know one thing that's interesting talking sports with you is sometimes I as well as we know each other, I do not predict you in terms of I could see you giving both types of answers, all the way from wanting some statistical data to prove it, and then sometimes just kind of analyzing it and looking at yourself, as Matt says, with the eye test. Where do you kind of fall in maybe a key factor in doing this?
Well, you know, obviously comparing like size schools is a big part of it in the tournament, as Matt said. And I'd probably point to demographics, you know, your proximity to, you know, metropolitan areas or complete lack thereof in our part of the state. I think that plays a large factor in the development of, you know, not only the high school athlete, but at the younger ages, and just the availability of sports programs and, the ability to go out and have exposure or have opportunities to participate, whether it's in team sports, travel teams, so on and so forth.
Well, I think both of you kind of start to make a couple points that jump out at me. One is a factor in terms of analyzing it. And then once you've done that, you also start to get some of these factors of, because we're coaches and because we analyze sports, we ask the question, well, why is that? So if team A in this conference is better than, say, team B or C over here in this conference, well, the next thing you start to ask yourself is why? So I think that can be a really fun discussion as we get going through some of the fall sports. And you know, when I think of golf here, guys, I look on our Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC scoreboard. When I look down at the individuals, and I see individuals that, you know, if you're basically shooting over about a 42.5, definitely over 43, you're on the outside looking in terms of the all league status, and I see some of the team scores being shot, and you know, it's pretty impressive on what the SVC can do. And I guess as this question asks to stretch out across the area, you know, I'll start there with Jeremy on the TVC scoring, for example. I know that's a conference you have some knowledge of. How would you compare, say, what an SVC team would shoot to win an SVC match or finish in the top half compared to maybe what's going on down there in the league?
Well, you know, this year you have a huge discrepancy. If you follow just the, not only the team performances where, you know, your teams are struggling to, you know, be in the 180s, in the TVC, and that's either division, either the big school division or the small school, whereas you'll get team scores 150, 160s, you know, in the SVC, even over time, you know, even over long periods of time, you know, it's very rare to have, you know, strong golf in the TVC. You've had a few teams that have had some success, but you know, overall it's not very good. But you know, I'll point right back to what I said before. When you go south and east of Chillicothe, there aren't very many golf courses. You go to that part of the state, so the opportunities for athletes in that conference compared to you know, the SVC, where there are some available golf courses in the immediate area to you know surrounding Chillicothe, just the pure opportunity to play golf is a huge factor there. You know, and I think the SVC is much more comparable to, say, an SEOAL, where you have city school districts with the availability of a golf course.
Well, you know, Matt, you go all the way back before the league formed when you played, so I know you've had a chance to really watch the league get started and then grow. What started as maybe just one or two teams capable of winning. Obviously, we still have Uniota that's really dominated through the years, but Piketon's program's really, really kind of become established in the last 10 years. I know West Falls had some good teams, even though they're struggling for numbers right now. Adina's been middle of the pack, and so forth. But, you know, Huntington's had a couple teams there, and Zane Trace solid. So I don't want to leave anyone out. But the point I want Matt to make here is, what is it that jumps out in your mind, taking yourself all the way back to high school to now, that's maybe allowed the SVC to get itself out in front, if you will, of some of the other conferences in Southeast Ohio?
Well, I think Jeremy hit it on the head with the golf course issue. I think we live in an area here that surrounds the Soda Valley Conference where you have some nice golf courses, really. Certainly some above average golf courses anyway, that fill your league, you know, and not to be rude, but in some other areas of the state, you really play some bad tracks, when it comes to golf, some really rough places. And, I think that's something that has helped too. I know when you mentioned I played golf back before we even had a league. Some of the golf courses in this area were either not there or just sort of on the way. You know, Big Beaver wasn't very old. You know, Crown Hill. So some of these courses that have popped up, it's given everybody their own home course, pretty much, with the exception of maybe a couple schools share a JC's or whatever. I think that helps the league, you know, because now players are going and playing a number of different courses. I think it legitimizes the league, and it's like anything else. When it starts to take off, one, two, three schools, then that's when the league really starts to grow, and other schools say, hey, we can do this too. And golf in this area is I think as good as anywhere. It's you're looking this year at, you're going to have to probably average a 42 to even make the top 15 in this league. So this golf league right now, and usually year to year, is very, very talented.
Well, Jeremy, I guess enrollment-wise, if you're looking at it from a team aspect, enrollment's obviously important because the more kids you have, you know, maybe you get more kids involved in junior high and you get some a JV team established and so forth. But I want to go to the factor of culture here. I know just as a golfer myself, as someone who's away from the game for as long as I was and come back, if I take the difference of what I shoot, say, from the VA to JC's and then, say, up to the Chillicothe Country Club, there's a big difference there. Do you think some of the lack of tournament success that we've had comes from the golf courses maybe a little bit to the north of us starting to stretch out and play a little bit longer, a little bit tougher, to where that some of these bigger schools that Matt's referring to maybe has the opportunity to play those a little bit more year-round? Do you think we're on the other side of that come tournament time?
Well, maybe a little bit. You know, that's certainly a factor, and you're going to see the same things when you start getting around the Central Ohio area to play golf. You know, you're going to have the option of much longer courses, of tougher courses. And, you know, when you're going against teams that maybe are a little more familiar with playing in that area, you know, I think teams, that have the opportunity to play those courses or maybe spend a little more time in their legs playing in those types of courses are going to have an advantage. But, you know, there are a lot of factors in the tournament. You know, we've always talked about weather and this and that. And, you know, it's really, really difficult to have team success in the tournament because you're relying on all of your players to perform on these, you know, tougher tracks.
Matt, I want to take a look cross country and soccer here a little bit together. When we look at that and we think of some independent schools, now obviously cross country is a league, but I think we would all agree that with just the one SVC match penciled in on your schedule itself becomes very independent, if you will, because you can pick your invites. You know, you'll see certain programs stay a little bit more local and run against the Southeast. You know, I'm constantly noticing some of our elite programs heading north and to the bigger areas and some of the bigger cross country meets. And then soccer, I've even heard, even with the growth, more and more schools getting it, I've heard more and more, where they're not for the league, if you, in some ways, is because they do not want to lose the opportunity to branch out and play a lot of the better competition that's out there. So from a scheduling standpoint as an AD, Matt, do you think it's a little bit, easier for some of the schools to prepare themselves to for the postseason going up against the best the Southeast has to offer?
I'm sure it is. I think you could probably talk about this in several sports, is that you being in a league, obviously, I think most people would agree it most of the time is better than not being in a league, just because everything that comes with that, in terms of scheduling, in terms of your kids getting recognized or whatnot. But that independence does allow you to control your own fate, so to speak. You know, if you know that you're really, really talented, you can go compete against the best teams you can go against. If you know you're not, then you can sort of back off that a little bit. It gives you a lot of flexibility. And I'm guessing that's why, like in soccer, for instance, some coaches look at that. If they've got an established program where they're good every year, they're probably looking at that as, hey, I want to pick my 20 games or whatever. You know, I don't want 14 of those or 10 of those, however many teams would be in the league, decided for me in advance. And I think as we get into some of these other sports, we're probably going to talk a little bit about this. You know, how the inner workings of your league actually affect how you compare outside of the league. So it's certainly an interesting topic, an interesting way to look at it. I think that, again, it just comes down to, in those sports, in soccer especially, and then even a little bit cross country, you do have a little bit more freedom than you do in the other sports.
Well, Jeremy, before we move on then, if we were to look golf, cross country, soccer in the early part of this discussion, because I know we'll get different fan feedback, especially as we get down to some of the other sports, would you think it's safe that factor wise, culture and money are going to play a little bit more of a advantage, disadvantage in these smaller sports?
Oh, yeah. And I think that is a good point. Socioeconomics does play a role, you know, for all the reasons we've said, not just the availability in the youth levels and the opportunities for competitive or travel type teams. Or in the case of golf, the ability to play on some sort of junior tour or, you know, play at golf courses that really promote junior golf. Money is certainly a factor, so I would agree with that 100%.
Well, guys, obviously the two big fall sports are the two we haven't discussed yet, and I'm interested to see if we are going to find these two sports on opposite extremes in this discussion. Stay with us, and we discuss it in 30 seconds. As we start with volleyball coming out of the break here, and as you know, it's no secret, we know Adina, Westfall, Uniota are really good, and And they've shown the ability outside of the SVC to be really good around Southeast Ohio and quite frankly, pretty good around the entire state. I think sometimes what happens to us in volleyball is we probably forget, you know, how good a Huntington or even a Southeastern Zane Trace at times has been. Even Paint Valley with their struggles the last couple of years in the league, they went a Division IV sectional. So, you know, obviously enrollment and some other things are going to matter here. You know, Jeremy, I'll throw this out at you first. And when we're looking at how good we are compared to some of the other conferences around the Southeast, I guess culture is another factor that jumps out at me. We have less coaching turnover in this particular sport. When you look at the job that, you know, Laura's done over to Diener, Lori has done in Westfall, now Zane Trace, Tina's been at Huntington for a long, long time. I know Coach Dressbach over Southeastern is not just varsity, but really through their entire program. And that group of coaches has gotten involved in some of the local club volleyball and so forth, all the way down to the youth, and is given exposure. How much do you think the club volleyball plays a role in how elite we've become, really, against the entire Southeast?
Oh, it plays a huge role. You know, a lot of club teams, a lot of organizations have sprouted up. Some have stuck around and some haven't. But the number of teams and the number of participants from, you know, SVC schools, is just staggering as compared to, you know, other areas. And I run into that all the time. You know, with softball and being involved with travel teams from, you know, kids around the age of 10 all the way up and through, you know, other places, they're just, you know, they don't have the opportunities to get kids playing volleyball. And in most cases, you know, I would say on average, you know, kids are likely not to even be exposed to volleyball until about the sixth grade, where in this area, it's much, much younger than that. And by the time they get in the junior high volleyball is just, I think that's a great point, because the measuring stick, junior high volleyball in the SVC is just a complete different level than the surrounding areas, you know, and you see that time and time again.
Well, you know, Matt, you talked a lot about eye test earlier there. You know, that's where I find myself with volleyball. I watch so much high school volleyball that when I watch the top half of the SVC, it just looks different. The game's played with better speed. The game's played with better skill. And, you know, when I was looking at some of the enrollment figures around Southeast Ohio in preparation for the show, I see, you know, that the SOC has some similar numbers to us. The TVC, it matches up in certain areas. In certain areas, it does not. But you know, when you study non-league scores, or when you just get out and watch, or at least watch up to about the district level, it just seems like more times than not, the SVC is going to stack up quite favorably against those conferences. Your thoughts?
I don't think there's any question. I'll be honest with you. I don't even think it's all that close. I think that the SVC is top to bottom, you know, heads and shoulders over the other conferences in this area. I think, you know, the other conferences in our area, you'll find a team that could come into the SVC and contend, but you're not going to find the depth. You understand what I mean? You'll get an Athens out of the S or out of the TVC that could come in here and be right up toward the top, but you're not going to have the other teams that could do that. In fact, a lot of times when you see some of the teams that struggle to win very many league games in the SVC go play outside of conference, they'll go beat some middle of the pack team in another league 3 sets. You know, just because it's just a different level. And I think as we talk about, you know, this topic tonight's interesting. As we get into this, the one thing that really jumped at me today is we're obviously going to have an opinion, and everybody that listens is going to have an opinion. But it's interesting sometimes when you ask the reasons why, because I think in some cases it's kind of obvious. Like Jeremy talked about the reason why our volleyball is better. I think obviously it has a lot to do with the youth and the club and all those things. But in some sports, it's not nearly as clear as to why. So I'm a guy that likes to have the answer, you know, and sometimes that answer is not real clear. But I think in this case it is. I think like Jeremy said, the kids growing up playing early on, and then the off season level of play that's available. If you as a player want to go take advantage of it, I think that makes all the difference.
Well, I think that's a good point, but I also think when we talked about culture earlier, you know, I look at how far ahead the SBC seems ahead of, say, like the Southern Hills League. When you look at the year North Adams had last year, then you look at Paint Valley, who struggled to win a match in the SBC in the last 2 years. They go down and beat North Adams to win a sectional championship. But now, if you look over the last 10 years and you look at, say, like girls basketball, where the SBC used to start to be playing at a more elite level, girls basketball is quite, if I'm being honest, even though I love the SBC, girls basketball as a whole is really kind of down when you compare it across, which maybe we'll get into that later in the fall or into the winter. But let's continue to be fair with volleyball, Jeremy. As much as I think the SBC from top to middle to bottom of any conference would more than hold its own, if not set the standard, let's start to travel ourselves north a little bit more. Let's get more into the regional level or to the state level. You're going to start to see a better, faster, maybe even more of a college level of volleyball. Maybe that's because there's bigger schools. Maybe it's because it's private schools. You know, whatever it is, I couldn't help but think of some expansion and the good, bad there. Do you think volleyball parity would be the one thing that would be the most intriguing if the SBC were to go through some of the expansion things that have been brought up?
Well, no question. I think what you see, and it's true to a small degree in the SBC, but if you just take Division III, for example, and you look at the regional level, the types of teams that you start to run into, in a lot of cases, those are Division III schools that have played where they're the small school in their particular league. So they're playing against bigger, more athletic, and in a lot of cases, teams throughout the regular season. So when they go to the tournament, it's almost like it's a step down, and they're the ones setting the bar. Now, that's always kind of, you know, been a good benefit for, you know, say, you know, in Adina's case, they've always kind of set the bar anyway, whether they've been Division III or Division IV. But, you know, those years that they were Division IV and had the opportunity to play in a strong SVC, well, then you go to a Division IV Southeast, you know, district tournament, and it's nothing, and on to the regional and so on and so forth. So that's the main dynamic difference that you would see when you start talking about expansion. Is that shift between how the schools are situated and, you know, who's the big school, who's the small school, what's the disparity in size, you know, top to bottom? Do you have Division IIs playing against Division IVs, or are they all, you know, about the same size? Because that's where you, you know, in most cases start to see a big difference.
Well, Matt, obviously, when we talk enrollment, there's no sport that's going to influence more than football. You obviously, numbers in football cover up a lot of things. It gives you better depth. It allows you to take on injuries and so forth that you know is going to come. It allows you to have a better chance to be better up front on both sides of the ball, which obviously can dictate so many things. So when you look at enrollment, I got to studying the numbers, and on the boys' side, you know, a lot of conferences that have football around the Southeast are just a little bit big, or bigger than us, I should say, for the most part. And it got me thinking a little bit, maybe fair or unfair. I've always said, you know, football is probably the one sport that, you know, jumps right out at me in terms of where we just don't seem to play at a level quite the same top to bottom of our conferences. Say the SOC, who with, you know, Wheelersburg and Memphis and Portsmouth West and Valley and what they've accomplished, even Waverly's had a couple teams here and there that have been really talented. And obviously, you know, the Mid-State League plays an incredible level of football, but they're so much bigger. I don't know that that's a fair example. When you get to Miami Trace Courthouse, they're so much bigger. I don't know if that's a fair example. So, you know, when you look at enrollment, maybe sometimes are we unfair to football in the SBC, or is there something out there that maybe would support the fact that we are a little bit behind in terms of our size of schools?
Well, I mean, I think you have to – I think if you're being fair, I think you have to say that the SBC hasn't been able to really have much success, whether it be playoff wins, things like that, as compared to some of the other conferences, I think, in the area. I mean, what I mean by that is whether I don't care what division you are, so I don't know that enrollment – in my particular argument right here really even matters. I'm talking about once you get to the playoffs, which you're obviously playing schools of your own like size at that point. There hasn't been a whole lot of success in terms of winning even one playoff game. You know, I know Westfall had a nice run a few years back, and there was a time where Payne Valley, I think, had a pretty nice run. I'm sure you know better than I, Shane. But it just seems like when our teams get into the postseason, they really struggle. And I'm not so sure. And this is a sport that really baffled me more than any, because I'm not sure the answer why on that. I know people are going to automatically say, well, the level of competition during the season isn't great or whatever. But like, you take a Westfall, and if they go 9-1, 10-0, that means they're beating the likes of Circleville, Loganel, Taze Valley. So their schedule's plenty strong enough, you know, regardless of how the league is. So I don't know that's necessarily the answer. It's odd to me. I'd be happy to hear your guys' opinion on it.
Well, real quick, Jeremy, let me just get this kind of a follow-up to that, and then I'm going to come back to what Matt just said, because that is a great point. Take yourself back to being a high school kid and on the college and then as a young teacher, just following sports, say, east of us here in the SVC. And, you know, when I think of Athens and Logan and Vinton County, I know had a great run there for a while. And in Jackson, I mean, that's a bigger school. But, you know, was the perception from the outside as the SVC wasn't quite to that level in football, especially when you compared it to some of the other sports? What's the take from the outside looking in growing up?
Well, you know, I think it is. I think you viewed it more as a basketball conference, and those secondary sports, you know, how they were always really strong in, you know, whether it was volleyball, baseball, softball, you know, golf, and those sorts of sports. But in football, you know, they didn't really carry a lot of respect, like certain areas, you know, just like the ones you mentioned, and you throw in, you know, the Portsmouth Ironton dynamic, the Souda County and Lawrence County, the rich football tradition that's there that stems all the way back to the beginnings of the NFL and some of the roots that were put in place in those communities years and years ago.
Well, Jeremy, let me stay with you. You know, Matt was asking for some thoughts there a second ago, so I'll just throw it at you. And when we try to figure out the why part of it, you know, what is it that jumps out at you as maybe some of the factors on the why when you consider, you know, some of the style of plays, perhaps? Is it a youth league thing in our area? What are some things that jump out at you in the Chillicothe area here that maybe has just not allowed SVC football to grow to that level?
Well, when you examine, you know, success in football, the common denominator tends to be, even if it's at a small school, is the overall size of your, you know, your clientele, so to speak. You know, a lot of these schools are community schools or city schools that have some sort of tradition that goes with that. And I think the unique thing about most of the, at least the Ross County schools in the SVC, is that you have the city of Chillicothe, but they have their own high school. And, you know, all the county schools, they don't really have that, that niche, because, you know, most consider themselves, a lot of them consider themselves residents of Chillicothe. But, you know, it's Chillicothe area versus, you know, the city of Chillicothe. Whereas, you know, you go to the SOC, if you're from Wheelersburg or you're from West, you're from, you know, right, West Portsmouth, you're from Wheelersburg, you're not from Portsmouth, you know. And there's a certain tradition and pride that goes with that. And those areas are more distinct. There's something about that. And when it comes to football, that goes a long way into building tradition and maintaining.
Well, Matt, let's go to your AD perspective here, because you got to talking about something earlier that makes me think of football from this standpoint. The SVC sets your schedule 7 out of 10 weeks. If that were a smaller number, I mean, I don't care if you're a program, say, like a Huntington or a Southeastern who's trying to build from the bottom up, or if you're more of an established program of Paint Valley, Westfall, maybe even a Dean of Piketon, St. Tracy's had a solid run of it. Maybe you're a bigger school like Uniota trying to get over the hump and become elite. What advantages could there be in football if your league was only offering you, say, like 4 or 5 games to where you could go out and dictate more of your schedule in terms of trying to get some more wins? Or if you are more of an established program, maybe trying to throw a couple tests, if you will, out there, kind of like a Paint Valley's done and kind of how Westfall continues to do. What are some of the advantages, disadvantages, if 70% of the schedule were not already made for you?
Well, it's interesting. As you asked that question, then I was thinking about what Jeremy just said. To piggyback on that a little bit, I wonder sometimes, and I know this is when I first say this is going to seem kind of odd, but let me try to explain. I'm not so sure that what appears to be a plus of the SBC, which would be you have all these schools in a little area, so you have the rivalries and you have the easy travel and people can go see you play and all those things that would appear on the surface to be positives, and they probably are positives. Do those things also hurt you in some ways? And what I mean by that is you're going to play, like say in football, like you say, you're going to play 7 of your games are set for you. And okay, well, a lot of people are in a league, and so, you know, that's not totally unique. But what is unique is I got to thinking today, I can't think of very many leagues that have 6 of their schools, 75% in this case of their schools, from one county. And I think when you have that, so in football, it's just, since we're talking football, you're basically seeing, you know, kind of similar style play, you know, similar ways of officiating, similar ways of everything, your travel, you know, your, whereas in some leagues, you know, there might be 5 or 6 counties involved, and so you're getting outside your area and you're seeing some different things and some different styles. I'm not so sure sometimes that plus of everybody being so close doesn't hurt this league as they go into tournament play or they go outside the area to play. Does that make a little bit of sense? I mean, it's like,
sure, yeah.
It's almost like we've got our own little world right here, and then when we step outside of it, you're like, oh, wait a minute here.
It's kind of like the way college basketball's gone to more of those things in the preseason. They want to get their guys. You're saying, you know, getting your kids ready for the postseason setup. They'll talk about wanting to play in these tournaments where they're winning, you know, 2 games in a weekend or so forth and playing. You're just saying that the culture of the regular season for some other people maybe sometimes prepare them for more of a style of play or a travel or, you know, just a lot of different factors, if I'm following you there.
Well, it is. And I think it's just that you got, like Jeremy said, you take this league, and let's say you take Westfall and Piketon. Well, what makes them unique as compared to the other 6 schools is they have their own little communities, you know, their own little village, at least their own little town, so to speak. You know what I mean? You have the Williamsport, you have Piketon, obviously. So, and if you look at it, the culture, especially take Westfall, the culture of their football program is very different than the culture of a lot of the other ones in this league. You know, they look at football differently. And I'm not so sure, and this may offend some people, but I'm just being honest, I'm not so sure outside of Westfall and Paint Valley, and maybe for a stretch here and there, Adina, Piketon, but really Westfall, Paint Valley, I don't know if any other schools in the SBC really live and die by their football. You know what I mean? I mean, it's important, yes. You want them to do well, right, if you're a fan. But, I mean, is it ingrained, you know, in their way of life, so to speak?
And I think that's a great point because, you know, when you asked me the question earlier about growing up in an area, I'm telling you what, there's a certain thing about the atmosphere and the environment, you know, when you would go to watch Ironton play football or Jackson play football, Nelsonville, York play football, even Trimble, as small of a community as it is,
yes.
there is an aura, and there is, you know, like Matt said, there's just a feeling that, you know, this is what happens on Friday night. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. The community is part of the football program, and that is one of the main differences. You don't see the crowds, you don't see the environment created in the SVC like some of those other leagues.
Really, really fun discussion. I'm anxious to get the feedback from some of our listeners around the surrounding counties and the leagues to let us know. And, you know, the reason I guess this is so intriguing to us is because we know how much of expansion has been talked about here recently, and it's pretty much been constant for several years now. Where did the idea first start? Which school would benefit most from a new league structure? Which school would it hurt the most? We answer these questions in our next segment, so stay with us. Well, guys, expansion. We ask when, where did it start? You know, I don't know if I know for sure. I can only go back to when I first started to talk about it. Someone who I have a high level of respect for as a sports person when it comes to our local high school, Mike Kinneman, who had spent some time there at Paint Valley as a principal, just an incredible administrator. Such a great knowledge for our youth and our student athletes. And I can remember sitting in his office. This is probably, wow, it's probably been about 10 years ago. He had done, maybe not even quite that long, probably closer to about 8 years ago. He had started to put together, some data there and he had, kind of completed it over a couple years standpoint of where he put together a spreadsheet of when, who's won the league in every sport, and he started to look at enrollment figures. And really, you can't even go back. You're almost wasting your time if you go back before 2000 because the SVC is such a different structure now. And that spreadsheet just blew my mind. I remember sitting there thinking as the website was only a couple years old by the time the data had been formed and we were having this meeting. And it was phenomenal to see the different things that had happened. You always had the outliers and different things like in Adena volleyball, Paint Valley football, whatever it might have been. But it just was really, really intriguing. And it got me thinking with expansion, it's so important that I think that it's such a constant in the inbox and on social media and in my discussion with so many local people. I thought we would just use our hurry up offense this week, guys, for that segment to get a little bit more detailed in our opinions. Jeremy, you take the first question. I'll go in the middle. And Matt, you take the final question. So here we go. Let's go to the hurry up offense.
Which SVC school would benefit the most from a change in the league structure?
I would have to say Unioto.
If the league were to break apart or expand and add more teams, which SVC school would have the biggest adjustment period?
Jerry, I'll have to go Unioto there.
What is the main factor holding the SVC together?
Ease and practicality.
Well, guys, we certainly have some interesting answers here. I'll jump right back into numbers one and two. And, you know, Jeremy, kind of, you know, we're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum here a little bit. When we talk about which SVC school would benefit the most from a change in the league structure, obviously that's an open-ended question from what does that mean? What's the structure look like? But go ahead and share with the fans why you say Unioto there.
Well, I definitely don't disagree with you as we go to number two there as well. But, you know, we can go back to the soccer, the golf, all of the secondary sports where Unioto tends to just rack up the you know, all sports banner points, if you will. You know, when you're playing in a bigger tournament at the end of the year than the teams you played against in your conference, at some point, there's got to be something that changes, to be able to take that next step, whether it's less league games and being able to expand in the non-league, or just being in an entirely different league. It certainly has to be something that's considered, as you start to kind of grow out of the leg, as Union is doing.
Well, Matt, on this number one, I said Paint Valley, and I guess where Jeremy and I are looking at this from complete opposite ends of the spectrum goes back to a discussion you and I had on SVC Sports Talk. I don't know, it's been a year or two now, about winning a league versus tournament success. And I think that's a great discussion point here because, you know, Jeremy's talking about preparing them for the bigger tournament and so forth. And I guess I look at it from a standpoint, this is why I say Uniota on number two. How would Uniota handle a little bit less success in the regular season? I think that's the biggest adjustment period. I mean, right now, Uniota's in a situation where they're just accidentally going to finish in the top three of every single junior high, freshman, JV level we have. And that's translating over to the varsity level. How would they handle maybe going into a situation where they're not quite the big kid on the block and they see kind of how the other half lives, if you will, in the SVC? Isn't that – do you follow me there on how this debate between numbers one and two with Jeremy's answer in mind kind of comes back to, are you more of a regular season success or more of a tournament success?
Yeah, I can definitely see both sides of the argument. I think with your argument, I would agree that sometimes be careful what you wish for too. That kind of standpoint of, you know, you get into all of a sudden now, you know, you get into a bigger league and maybe you're finishing third, you know, fourth. You're not winning the league in as many sports. And does that hurt the school excitement? Does that, you know, right now Uniota has an air about it of, hey, we're a school of champions. We're winning things. We're, you know, and there's something to be said for that too in terms of building that culture, that winning attitude that you want your school to have. I do see Jeremy's point also, though, that, you know, that there is that belief that, you know, the tougher level of competition that you play is going to prepare you for the future. I don't know. You mentioned secondary sports, though, Jeremy. The only thing I would say to that is, interestingly enough, Uniota hasn't had a whole lot of postseason problems in those sports. Cross country has been a state, you know, power, really. I mean, getting there year after year after year. I know soccer went to the state Final Four a few years back. You know, golf's always right there. Baseball's been in the regional, softball. So I don't know, like, if some of the secondary sports have suffered at the tournament level so much. I don't know. I mean, with football and basketball, football certainly hasn't been the dominant force in this league yet. And basketball here recently has started to kind of assert itself again. But I don't know. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, what I was going to say was the interesting points about all the sports you mentioned, there's an opportunity to play just as many or almost as many non-league games as league games. And so it's not quite as big of a factor in terms of, you know, the percentage of your games that are against lower divisions, because you have a little more control, whereas in basketball, football, whatever, you have fewer opportunities. The 22 game schedule in basketball certainly helps,
right?
You know, because then a third of your season can still be against, you know, basically it's up to you to go put yourself where you want to put yourself, because right. You're going to have, you know, the league games that are going to be a challenge or competitive, but you're also going to have control of your non-league schedule so that you can do whatever you need to do with that. So I guess from a standpoint of I think a lot of people at Uniota that would be in favor of expansion are in favor because in those other sports like soccer, maybe they could actually be in a conference that right. had schools their size and that sort of thing. You know, I don't know from the main sports that it's nearly as big a deal, you know, in basketball.
And wouldn't you say in basketball and football especially, that'd be a big adjustment?
If
they were to enter, you know, I know, like, not that they would ever do this, but I know people will say, well, Vinton County, they look at their numbers, they ought to be in the SUAL. Well, let me tell you, if we were in the SUAL, we would have some serious difficulty in a lot of our sports, because we've had serious difficulty in a lot of our sports in the league that we're in. You know, where even with Uniota that has been pretty good in all sports, for those sports especially, that would be a big adjustment.
Well, there's no question. I guess the point I was making on the answer there is it's hard sometimes for the Huntingtons or the Southeasterns or the Paint Valleys to keep their head above water in the regular season to even make it to the tournament. And I just think it's something for the Uniotas and the West Falls and the Zane Traces to think about. If you're into a conference, be it split divisions or into a completely different conference, just how much more difficult things are going to be in terms of just accidentally putting together these incredible junior high records and freshman records and JV that really add to the numbers and add to some of the different things that come from the enrollment advantage that those schools have in the side of Valley Conference. So,
Shane, Matt, real quick, I wanted to ask you just to kind of get your take on this. You know, sometimes we get in a tendency to look at this from the big and the small perspective, but I think it is it's the Piketons and the Huntingtons and the Southeasterns that, you know, where do they think they fall? You know,
that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point, Jeremy. I was actually getting ready to say, if I were going to answer this question, you can't answer these questions accurately without knowing what the setup would be.
What the structure would be, yeah.
But it's funny you say that, Jeremy, because I was thinking, who's to say a Piketon wouldn't benefit the most? What if they were all of a sudden the biggest school in the small half?
No question about it.
So you never know until you see the setup.
Well, and I've always asked guys in this, and maybe I haven't come out directly and stated it on here. If we have a Piketon listener, really, you know, feel free to contact us or call in to the number 740-569-3254. I've always said that Piketon is probably the team that intrigues me more than anybody in the expansion talk. So I think that's a great point. And, you know, when we get into the size of schools and the different things, Matt, let's go to your third question here so we make sure that we look. You use the word ease, which I found interesting, and why the SVC's together. Kind of explain that to us.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, the SVC is set up in a way where it's easy. It's easy for the ADs. It's easy for the schools in general. Financially, your travel's short, so it's a little cheaper that way. You have the even number with eight. You don't have any kind of scheduling conflicts. Also, eight is a pretty large league, so the majority of your schedule is already done for you. You've got all these natural rivalries, good gates, all these things. So why get rid of that? I mean, you've got to look at the question was what's holding expansion up. You've got to look at it from the decision maker's point of view. All right. You've got your decision makers in this ultimately are your high level administrators. And it's their job, whether they're a sports fan or they're not, it's their job to consider the bottom line. It's their job to consider financial ramifications. And right now, this league is set up in a way where it just makes sense. And now as a fan, you might say, well, it doesn't make sense because my team can't win a league championship. Well, that's not going to be the number one priority of the decision makers. It's not going to be about winning a league championship. Do they care? Yes. But they're looking at everything else before that. And that goes with the practicality, too. I mean, I guess both those things, you know, it's set up so easily and so perfectly on paper, you know, from an organizational standpoint. It's going to take a lot, I think, for anyone to come off that.
Jeremy, he mentioned the administrators making the choice. I found that really intriguing. And I'd love to get in perspective for someone, you know, who's into the administration. If you were to go to the Southern Hills League, obviously they have a complete understanding of how important basketball is to driving their funding of athletics because they don't have football there. And obviously basketball, the support and the funding that they put into that and the culture. Football probably does that here for the most part, but I don't know if that's true with every particular program. So as it starts to move around, what is it that you think an administrator's number one goal is when they try to balance their student athletes and the programs that are out there as long as the financial backing that they need?
Well, it's very difficult. Now, you know, Matt makes a great point because just the sheer fact, the cost of busing being easy, means that it's also a controlled cost. You know, you don't have near the variables. You know, all your trips are about the same, and you know that you're only going to have so many, you know, road trips that could possibly vary from year to year. So you can get a pretty good picture of what your numbers look like. Well, when you get in these conferences that change their numbers, I think people would be baffled if they saw the transportation cost at a Vinton County, let alone a Jackson or a Logan, where now they're trying to fill the majority of their schedule with non-league games and schools are, you know, a similar size. They've got to travel, and they can't control their budget from year to year near as easy as, you know, somebody in the SVC could. So where they may get some huge gates in football that, you know, that we don't see necessarily in the SVC, because that might be the other argument. You know, you start looking at some of the mid-state schools that have a good following. If there was a combination there with a bigger side, you know, maybe you increase your gates, and people could argue, well, the bigger schools don't realize how much more money they could make if they upped, you know, the football, especially in a bigger division. But I don't think that, you know, you can do that without considering the risk that you would have to take in scheduling some longer road trips, you know, and not being able to control who you played and where you played quite as easily.
Well, it's all certainly great discussion, and I guess where I'll leave everybody on expansion this week is I would love to get the individual school's perspective. Call in as a fan and let us know where you stand on this. I know we have coaches, if you'd be willing to add to the discussion. 740-569-3254. You can go Facebook, you can go Twitter. If you'd rather make it more private, just give me an email in the inbox. That's admin1@svcsportzone.com. And I just think that is where the discussion is really going to take off expansion-wise. You also don't forget about the different comparisons. I know we have a lot of listeners outside the SVC. Give us your thoughts on your conference and where you stack up, what sport it is you want us to compare. So just a great show, and I think it's a show that's going to be a springboard for a great fall season as we get into the second half of the year for our fall season here, because it's going to allow people a chance to give us some feedback. So fans, please check out the website for the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC scoreboards, as well as our Adena Sports Medicine SVC stats page, which are up for volleyball. Football will be up this week. So until next week, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for all the people at DBK Media Services, for Matt Combs and Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.